We welcome you once again to Words of Truth. Today we want to begin a very special series of lessons dealing with the truth about truth. We'll do this for several weeks, Lord willing. Friends, what would you consider to be the most important thing in your life? Is it material wealth? Is it your family and loved ones? Is it happiness? Is it your very own life itself? Or could it be that the most important thing in your life is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, as Jesus told the lawyer in Matthew 22:36-40? Would you be shocked to learn that the Bible doesn't consider any of these things to be most important or to be man's greatest obligation? Well, that's right. Something is more important than even acknowledging the existence of God. There is something more important than keeping the greatest commandment of all, namely, loving God and our neighbor as ourselves. What could that possibly be? What is your greatest responsibility in life? What is my greatest responsibility? The answer to today's question is answered when Jesus appeared before Pilate in John 18:33-38. John 18:33-38. May I invite you to read this passage with me in your own Bibles? If it is the case that you are unable to open your Bible at this present time, then please listen carefully as I read. Here, in John 18, Jesus stands on trial for his life. Are you finding John 18? I would like to direct your attention to the Gospel of Matthew as we read a parallel account of the events. You'll remember that throughout his trial, the Lord remained mostly silent regarding the charges against him. Matthew 27:11-14 relates these events to us. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he gave him no answer, not to even one word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now you would think, considering the gravity of the situation, that Jesus would say something in defense of these charges brought against him. You would think that he would plead innocent, wouldn't you? But our text clearly states that Jesus answered nothing, and he gave no answer, not even to one word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, don't you think that Jesus would plead for his innocence? Why doesn't he? Could it be that there is something more important that he needed to say to Pilate and all those who stood by? Could it be that these words were more important than his own defense? What could that possibly be? Now, let us read John's account of the event. I begin reading in verse 33 of John 18. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself on this, or did others tell you this about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come in the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is the truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." We've been reading John 18, verses 33-38, the New King James Translation. I imagine that when Jesus finally broke his silence, Pilate and the unruly mob listened very intently what this condemned man had to say, and hanged on every one that passed out from his mouth. Yet, what did Jesus talk about here in his public address before his crucifixion? What did our Lord consider to be the most important thing in life? More important than his own life? More important than giving a defense for his own character? What was it? It was truth. As the Lord stood before Pilate, he announced, "To this end am I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Did you hear Pilate's sarcastic reply? "What is truth?" Undoubtedly, Pilate was not the first person that ever asked that question, and I know that he's not the last. Many today are asking, "What is truth?" Pilate's inquiry is perhaps the most thought-provoking of all. Though Pilate's question reflected carnal interests and Jesus' claim was spiritual when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world," saints must be concerned with the nature of truth. What is truth? Is it valuable? Is it important to me? What is my responsibility to the truth? What is the source of truth? Can I know the truth? Is religious truth objective or subjective? Well, what does the Bible say? Our Lord was on trial because he told the truth, and people did not like it. This is the reason why the religious leaders sought to kill him. Earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus asked his enemies, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I heard from God, that this did not Abraham." Later he assured his apostles, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," John 16:7. And a few hours before his trial, he consoled his apostles, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go and prepare a place for you." John 14:1-2. And yes, several verses later, Jesus said plainly that truth was his very nature. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. Obviously, Jesus was very concerned about truth. How concerned are we? Do we know what the truth is? Do we love it as Jesus did? I would like to return to John the 8th chapter and consider what Jesus had to say about truth more closely. Jesus stressed the fact that he is the light of the world, verse 12, and that the Father in heaven bore witness of him, verse 18. But verses 31 and 32 of John 8 are the most profound of all. Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, "If ye abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In view of the discussion that followed, the Pharisees took issue with these words of Jesus, which concluded with them taking up stones to cast at him. Apparently, their belief in him was superficial. Perhaps they regarded him as a Messiah, but not the Messiah. Perhaps they were so wedded to their carnal views of the kingdom that they could not accept the words of truth which Jesus so eloquently spoke. Jesus informed his hearers that they could be free. Implied in this statement is the fact that those Pharisees really were not free. As usual, these religious leaders missed the point, and they took issue with Jesus. They retorted, "We are Abraham's seed, and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" John 8:33. Oh, really? Had they forgotten their own Decalogue, wherein God prefaced the Ten Commandments, saying, "I am Jehovah thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage"? Exodus 20:2. Had they forgotten their oppression during the time of the judges? Had they forgotten Syria, or their bondage in Assyria, to say nothing about the 70 years of Babylonian captivity? Had they forgotten that even at that very moment they were an occupied people under Roman oppression? And yet they answer, "We have never yet been in bondage to any man." This is very characteristic of those living in sin. Like many religions today, the Pharisees missed the point. They were enduring bondage and thought they were enjoying freedom. These religious leaders prided themselves on being the children of Abraham and knew not that Satan was their father and they were his children. Jesus so informed them in verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and standeth not in the truth, but because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof." Not only so, but the Lord charged those who claimed to be free as being the servants of sin. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, everyone that committeth sin is a slave of sin." John 8 and verse 34. Yes, even these men who had believed him were in bondage of sin, the worst form of servitude. It is interesting to compare John 8:32 with John 8:36. In the former, the truth makes one free. In the latter, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So, what do we have here? Jesus, the Son, is the agent who brings freedom. Truth is the agency which the Son uses to bring freedom. How could the Pharisees miss this point? And how do men miss this simple point even today? Jesus clearly states the reason in verse 37. "Because my word hath not free course in you." You see, there is no way that one can accept Jesus and at the same time reject his word. This brings us to an amazing paradox. To be free, one must submit to the servitude of the word. Being free indeed is based on being disciples indeed, and being disciples indeed is based on continuing in his word. John 8 and verse 31. Do we realize the bondage of our own sin and the curse of ignorance because Christ's word is not in our lives? Are we truly free? The Bible teaches that we are either servants of sin or servants of righteousness. There is no middle ground. Paul challenged the saints at Rome with these words, "Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom ye obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were the slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves or the servants of righteousness." What a tragedy to be God's child and still be in bondage to sin. Well, today we hope that evidence has been presented that you want to know the truth. Our Lord said, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." That involves recognizing that one is lost. He needs to be in a saved relationship. To come into that saved relationship, one must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Unless we believe that He is the Christ, we will die in our sins. We need then to repent of our sins, go in the right direction, acknowledge our faith in Jesus Christ before others, and be immersed in water, in baptism, for the remission of our sins, arising to walk in newness of life. Why not allow us this day to assist you in your becoming simply a Christian, a child of God, doing what God directs you to do? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Why not worship with us today at 9:30 for Bible study, at 10:25 for our worship together, and again this evening at 6 o'clock. We also meet for midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock. Every time you come, you'll be an honored guest, and we encourage you to bring your Bible and bring a friend. Until next week, as once again we present words of truth, we bid you a good day.